on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the chair of the Friends of Lifford Community Hospital says the campaign to save the facility will be stepped up after it was not included in the HSE's latest capital plan. There's widespread frustration in East Donegal over lack of progress on flood mitigation works for the area. Searches are continuing for missing Strabane man Shane Kelly, who has been missing now for almost a week. And the INMO says there were 409 people waiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital last month, 50 more than recorded during August 2018. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first to news, the HSE is expected to spend over €2 billion on healthcare projects over a three-year period. 480 hospital beds, 30 primary care centres and two emergency departments will be funded under the new HSE plan. Nationally, a total of 250 projects will receive investment, but the government insists no projects have had to be delayed because of the National Children's Hospital going over budget. HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid says primary care is a focus of the new plan.
We've 28 primary care centres currently in operation. During the course of this plan, 10 more primary care centres will come on stream before the end of this year, 10 more centres in 2020, and a further 10 centres will come on stream the following year, consolidating our capacity in the community.
There are 12 Donegal projects in the plan, including the community hospitals in Stranorder and Remelton and the new 110-bed community hospital in Letterkenny. Projects at the community hospitals in Dunloe, Carndonagh, Ballyshannon and Fulcara and Buncrana will also progress. However, the plan makes no reference to Lifford, where it's recommended that a new facility be built on a greenfield site. Minister Joe McHugh says there will be a comprehensive local consultation there.
Jim Daly has met with the group in the last number of weeks in Lifford, and it's important that we continue to have dialogue there. And what Jim Daly, the Minister, has asked of the group is to go back and consult with the community and to see what the preferred option would be, because it's a big area in East Donegal. There is a demand for some form of community hospital provision and also some form of sheltered housing. So we need to continue with that dialogue.
There is reference in this plan to the new community nursing unit for Letterkenny, and there is recognition in the department and in the government that those 110 beds in Letterkenny are going to be necessary to service the Letterkenny area, that this isn't going to become a catch-all. The reality, many would argue, is that every one of those beds is going to be needed in the immediate Letterkenny area.
Absolutely. As the population grows, that will be there will be a demand there. And it's also very, very important that we keep our regional hospitals in situ, and also to develop them and to make sure they're modernised. The worry and concern was that it was an either-or between Remelton, St Joseph's or Letterkenny, but what we have in the plan now is that the three projects, the two existing projects in Remelton and St Joseph's, will be refurbished and developed, but also we will have a new modern community hospital in Letterkenny, and that will be important for step-down facility and to work in conjunction with the plans at the Letterkenny University Hospital. We will have a staggered approach. Carndonagh, Dunloe and Ballyshannon will go to tender, and immediately after that we will have Buncrana and Fulcara. They go to design, and obviously we can't refurbish all the hospitals at one time, because beds are needed. Every bed's vital to ensure that we keep beds free at Letterkenny University Hospital.
John Quinn is chair of the Friends of Lifford Community Hospital and has been central to the campaign to save the facility. He believes that Minister Jim Daly's plan for Lifford is to replace the hospital with a new independent living facility. He says the committee has been given new vigour and sense of determination as a result of what's now happening, and the campaign to preserve a hospital in Lifford will be stepped up.
We met Minister Daly on the 23rd of July in Lifford. Now, in fairness, Jim, yes, he fulfilled that commitment. He has an idea in his head, or he has an idea that he wants to foster or pilot in Lifford, that's fine. But when he was pushed on the hospital, We want to retain what we have at the moment in Lufford and improve on it until this new project that he's proposing is up and running. In other words, you close one door and just transfer things over to the other new one, but he wouldn't give that commitment. We know exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to downgrade and close Lufford and replace it with a glorified, independent living kind of project. That's what we believe that they're trying to do, and they're trying to foster that off as a new hospital. He's trying to roll out a pilot in the northwest and Donegal and Lufford that he can then stand over and say, oh, look, I've got that up and running in Lufford and we want to put it out throughout the rest of the country. It's only more or less a glorified accommodation is what he's proposing for elderly people. And we're delighted to see whatever comes to help our elderly people. But what we want and what the people in Lufford catchment area is what we have, a hospital there in situ, and all it needs is 2.8 million, and that's not a big load of money when you see what's going on, to retain Lufford Hospital, to upgrade it and bring back the beds that we have lost.
The new plan also includes upgrades to the ambulance base in Stranorler, improvements to radiology and mortuary services at Letterkenny University Hospital and a primary care centre in Newton Cunningham. There's widespread frustration in East Donegal over lack of progress on flood mitigation works for the area. CFRAM's funding was announced a year and a half ago for flood relief schemes to be carried out in Lifford, Castlefin, Ballybofey and Stranorler. However, local councillor Gary Doherty says since the funding announcement, there has been radio silence from Donegal County Council. Speaking earlier in today's 9 till noon show, councillor Doherty says the unknown is no longer acceptable.
Unfortunately, all the questions that I've been asking, I don't have any answers to them. That's the frustrating thing about it. Since we were told that the funding was allocated, there's been radio silence from the council and from the OPW. I haven't managed to get any answers whatsoever as to what plans have been put in place. At the minute, all we have is an outline plan of what the flood mitigation works would involve. I'm banging my head against a brick wall. Every time we have a municipal district meeting, I'm raising this issue and asking, well, look, can we have a progress update, a progress report as to what's happening? Can we immediately organise a meeting with the community representatives?
Surely it's in the council's interest to get this information out there.
Yeah, and I don't know why there's radio silence coming from the council. I just cannot understand it at all. The simple thing would be to meet with the elected representatives and the community representatives and tell us exactly what's going on, what's planned, what's in the pipeline, give us a timescale of when we would expect to see shovels on the ground for a start, so that at least we can have some surety as to, well, look, we can face into this winter knowing that the works are going to be starting in December, for example. That gives us an end goal, an end game. But at the minute, we still don't know where we're going. We don't know when we're going to see shovels on the ground. We're banging our head against the brick wall, and every yellow warning that we get, every orange warning that we get, we have people who are sitting up all night worried that they're going to see water coming into their houses, and that's simply not good enough. I'm honestly at the end of my tether.
It comes as parts of the county are continuing to recover today after extensive damage was caused as a result of heavy rain on Friday night and into Saturday morning. West Donegal was particularly badly hit with serious structural damage caused. One road in Minilock was temporarily closed as a result of a landslide, while three households were cut off when the River Claddy burst its banks in Bombeg and destroyed a bridge. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says it is crucial at this time that Gaeltacht Minister Sean Kind visits the area to see firsthand the damage caused.
I have contacted the Minister for the Gaeltacht, Sean Kane, sent him details of the damage. I've asked him to visit West Donegal, as did Minister Eamon O'Keefe at the time in 2009 when there were floods, not as extensively as this one, but by the same token I believe that the Minister has to see for himself the damage, and we will be requesting him to provide funds from Run the Gaeltacht to carry out the repairs.
The prospect of a no-deal Brexit is increasingly likely, according to the Taoiseach. Leo Varadkar insists he's always willing to listen to any proposal the British government has in relation to the border post-Brexit. He says a proposed meeting with the British Prime Minister in Dublin could take place next week. Meanwhile, a surprise cabinet meeting is being called in London today. It's due to get underway shortly, with speculation Boris Johnson could call a vote on a general election. Back home, the Taoiseach says the cabinet here will be discussing Brexit on its return. return tomorrow.
And we'll have a detailed discussion on Brexit and a new memo on no-deal planning, because we have to be prepared for no-deal on the 31st of October. That is increasingly likely, and we need to be prepared for that.
Searches are continuing for missing Strabane man Sian Kelly, who has been missing for almost a week now. It's believed he left his home in the town on foot and without his mobile phone on Tuesday last. Sian is described as 5'7" in height, clean-shaven, and was last seen wearing a black leather jacket and dark clothing. Police say his family are becoming increasingly concerned for his well-being. It's emerged the long-awaited A5 upgrade may be further delayed after it emerged the Department of Infrastructure in the North proposes to hold another limited public inquiry. It follows their assessment of the most recent environmental consultation. West Tyrone MP Orla Begley met with the department to discuss the project at the weekend and says the prospect of another inquiry is disappointing. However, she's welcoming indications that construction of Phase 1 should begin next year. Ms Begley says it's vital the process be carried out as quickly as possible.
The department have indicated that they hope to be on the ground with the construction of Phase 1 in 2020 if all goes to plan. But obviously we need to ensure that there are no delays in this vital project. It's a strategic project for the whole of the island, not only the northwest region. It will cut journey times, it will help stimulate the economy, and we are determined as a party to see construction begin on the project and work start commencing on the ground as soon as possible.
As you've said, they're looking at hopefully starting Phase 1 next year. Now, Phase 1 is going from new buildings towards Strabane on the Derry-Strabane road. The way things are looking, it could be quite some time before the project even reaches West Tyrone.
It's deeply frustrating for the constituents within West Tyrone. A small minority of people continue to oppose the commencement of AFI and do this by way of judicial review. Obviously, the overwhelming majority of opinion in the area is to see work and construction begin on the project, but it's disappointing that this small group of individuals keep challenging the upgrade of the AFI through the courts. But hopefully they will see sense in the future.
Is it your hope that this will be it in terms of inquiries, in terms of assessments, that once this next public inquiry is done and dusted, that this will be the end to the challenges and we'll actually be able to see progress and a clear road ahead?
That would be the view of the department, that it's going to be very time limited, which is welcome. So hopefully after that public inquiry there can be no further legal challenges brought to the court. Obviously I can't confirm or deny whether that will be the case, but that's our hope and anticipation going forward.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time's latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. It's with Gaelic Games we start, and the GAA have announced Cork official Conor Lane as the referee for the All-Ireland Senior Football Final replay between Dublin and Kerry on Saturday, September 14th at Croke Park. It means the Bantry Laoghaire club man will be officiating his third All-Ireland Senior Decider in 4 years. He previously took charge of the 2016 final between Dublin and Mayo and last year's decider as the Dubs saw off Mickey Hart's Tyrone. Ticket prices will also be reduced by a third for the game. Stand tickets are priced at €60 and terrace tickets are at €30. In rugby, Leinster second row Devon Toner is the big name omission from Joe Smith's Irish Rugby World Cup squad. The 33-year-old veteran misses out after the 31-man panel was named 6 days ahead of schedule. Scrum half Kieran Marmion is also admitted, while Luke McGrath is preferred in that position. Munster lock Jan Klein, who only recently became Irish qualified, is included. Chris Farrell, Andy Conway, Jordan Lamar also make the cut, with Ulster's Will Addison missing out. Rory Best is named as captain, and Joe Smith spoke today about that decision with the Ulsterman.
I think there's always doubt in your mind when you first start a Rugby World Cup build-up, because people have to get through that period of hard work. You know, it's testing for everyone, including Rory. So I felt he worked really hard. It wasn't a great day against England. I still felt that Rory, despite the line-out not functioning overly well, around the park he did a good job.
Moving on to soccer, one game tonight in the Irish League Premiership, and it involves Derryside Institute, who are on the road in Belfast taking on Glentoran. Stoot go into the game with 1 point from their opening four Premiership games and sit second bottom in the table. As for Glentoran, they also have just 1-1 under the belt, two draws and one defeat. Coleraine have confirmed that midfielders Dean Shields and Cormac Burke have both left the showgrounds. Both players signed for the Bansiders in January, but they struggled for regular playing time during Rodney McAree's reign as Coleraine boss. Shields has only started two games under returning manager Owen Kearney, while Burke has failed to feature this season. There's two games tonight in the Premier Division of the SSE Air Trusty League. Leaders Dundalk can regain a 7-point lead over Shamrock Rovers if they get the better of Sligo Rovers at the showgrounds. Cork City will be looking for their first one under new manager Neil Fenn. After a defeat to Sligo in the opening game in charge, Fenn's side welcome Waterford to Turner's Cross for a Munster derby. Kick-off there is at 7.45 for both games tonight. Republic of Ireland manager Mick McCarthy has said the door is not closed at international level in Shane Long. The 32-year-old Southampton striker has been left out of the 25-man squad for Thursday's Euro 2020 qualifier against Switzerland and also next Tuesday's friendly with Bulgaria. McCarthy spoke at a press conference earlier today and said a lack of game time was the only reason for Long's omission.
He's made many appearances and he's, sixth or seventh in line of highest goal scorers. He's still very much there for him. I would have thought if anybody analyses the players that are in the squad that the strikers that I picked were all being playing. Shane just wasn't playing in any games. So my logic is, and the way I want players to play, is they need to be playing.
Romelu Lukaku says instead of going forward, we're going backwards with regard to racism in football. He was abused by Cagliari fans as he scored from the penalty spot for his new club Inter Milan in the 2-1 victory in Serie A last night. He's now urged football governing bodies across the world to come down strongly on those who have been involved in situations dealing with racism. And finally in tennis, Rafa Nadal can secure a place in the quarterfinals of the US Open tonight at Flushing Meadows. The second seed, who is looking for a fourth US Open title in New York, takes on Croatia's Marlon Cilic at around midnight Irish time. Defending champion Novak Djokovic retired last night with a shoulder problem as defeat loomed against Stan Wawrinka. That's it, Michaela. Back with more sport tomorrow after the 8 news.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, the INMO says there were 409 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital last month, 50 more than recorded during August 2018. That's an increase of 14%. Emma Rose Callaghan reports.
Last month, there were 409 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital compared to 359 awaiting in August 2018. That's an increase of 14%, but below the national average of 20%. The worst affected hospitals last month were University Hospital Limerick with 1,197 people awaiting inpatient beds and Cork University Hospital with 1,051 people awaiting, while Letterkenny University Hospital had the seventh highest figure. The total figure nationally was 9,562. According to the INMO, the number of people awaiting inpatient beds last month nationally was the highest ever recorded in August. The INMO General Secretary, Phil Nihay, said the problem is staffing and this is not the time for recruitment bans.
Obviously, we will have to look at curtailment of services going into the winter because the recruitment embargo is really affecting the employment of nurses and midwives. It's actually going to cost the health service money, because it's a short-term measure, not taking into account that the worldwide crisis at the moment is every country is looking for nurses, particularly Britain, who are coming under increasing pressure because of Brexit. And we are driving our nurses who are just graduating away. That just doesn't make any sense.
Homeless figures in Ireland are above the 10,000 figure for the sixth month in a row. The latest statistics from the Department of Housing show there were 10,275 people, including 3,778 children, in emergency accommodation in July. That's up 103 more than the previous month. Spokesperson for Focus Ireland, Rohan McNamara, says there's been a sharp rise in the number of families becoming homeless in Dublin City.
A massive 70% rise throughout July compared to June, and there's also been rises around the country. People think this primarily as a Dublin problem, but the figures clearly show now there's over 500 families and 1,000 children homeless around the country outside of Dublin.
Up to €25 million is being made available to community projects across Ireland to make homes and businesses more energy efficient. The SEAI Communities Grant Scheme will support communities to deliver energy upgrades to nearly 700 homes and 570 community and commercial buildings in their local area in a bid to eliminate over 34,000 tonnes of CO2 annually. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In Donegal, homes, businesses, community centres and farms are to benefit from a share of the €25 million in funding announced today under the SEAI Communities Grant Scheme. A number of homes in the county will be upgraded to include solid fuel room heaters, LED lighting, electricity energy monitors, replacement windows and doors, and roof and wall insulation. Meanwhile, energy upgrades are being offered at Letterkenny Institute of Technology, John Bosco Community Centre, and Donegal County Council's Road Design Office, as well as NCBI Ireland Charity Shops, Gortahork National School, St Johnson and Carrigan's Family Resource Centre, and Donegal Airport. Upgrades will include heating controls, lighting, storage heaters and solar PV panels. A full list of all benefiting buildings is available on our website, highlandradio.com.
And finally, the Society of the Irish Motor Industry of Ireland is calling on the government to refrain from increasing taxes on new cars in Budget 2020. It comes as new figures released today show that the total new car registrations for the month of August are down 11% in Donegal, slightly below the national average, which was down 13%. Nationally, there has been a 10.2% rise in the number of imported used cars registered in August. For weather now, mostly cloudy this evening with outbreaks of light rain or drizzle. A cloudy and misty night with outbreaks of light rain or drizzle, also with lowest temperatures of 12 or 13 degrees in moderate southwesterly breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the chair of the Friends of Lifford Community Hospital says the campaign to save the facility will be stepped up after it was not included in the HSE's latest capital plan. John Quinn believes that Minister Jim Daly's plan for Lifford is to replace the hospital with a new independent living facility. There's widespread frustration in East Donegal over lack of progress on flood mitigation works for the area. CFRAM's funding was announced a year and a half ago for flood relief schemes to be carried out in Lifford, Castlefin, Ballybofey and Stranorlar. Searches are continuing for missing Strabán man Shane Kelly, who has been missing for almost a week now. It's believed Shane left his home in the town on foot and without his mobile phone on Tuesday last. And the INMO says there were 409 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital last month, 50 more than recorded during August 2018. That's an increase of 14%. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, September the 2nd. The death has occurred of Sean Kyles, Rayra, New Mills, Letterkenny. His remains will be reposing at the residence of Barney and Rosalie McMonigal, Rayra, from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock in St. Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in Cornwall Cemetery. House private at all times at the request of the deceased. The death has occurred of Helen Page, née Martin, 5 St. Junan's Terrace, Raphoe. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 20 past 10, going to St. Junan's Church, Raphoe, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the renal unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of James Doherty, 34, The Beaches, Navney, Ballybofey, and formerly Carrick, Trenta, Letterkenny. James's remains will be reposing at McGowan's funeral home this evening from 6:30. Rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:45 for Requiem Mass at the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar at 11 o'clock, and interment immediately after in Drumbo Cemetery, Stranorlar. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of so desired to the Donegal Hospice, Martin McGowan, McGowan's funeral home, or any family member.
The death has occurred of Kathleen Ann Doherty, a Bolligan Dunlow. Her remains are reposing at her home with rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning in Mena Cross Church at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Mahery Cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the Irish Wheelchair Association, care of any family member or Sean McGlynn, funeral director. The death has taken place of Anna Patton, née Boyle, 116, Lisnefin Park, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. And the death has taken place of Bartley Bourne, Trimra, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, with interment afterwards in Cornwall Cemetery. Family time please from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the night nurses' service, care of any family member.